check your weapons at the door. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The great white whale of Medicare podcasts. He never mastered the boot scootin' boogie. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. It is the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. I am your lazy host, Doug Jones. Some call me a Medicare expert. Others just call me lazy. Not a problem there, though, because both of them are true. You heard the announcer at the beginning of the episode, Drew McMillan. That's my Canadian nephew, and even he knows how lazy I am. He's known me his whole life. But we are here to help people deal with the onslaught of Medicare. An onslaught may be too strong a word. Let's say the approach of Medicare. And that can be either when one turns 65, or it can be when one decides to leave one's place of employment, and leave the health insurance plan that place of employment provides for you. Either of those is a perfectly appropriate time to enroll in Medicare. So we're here to help you figure out how to do that, when to do it, and to make sure it gets done without a lot of frustration and disappointment. When I say we, I'm talking about my friend Randy Carson, who is pushing the buttons and twisting the knobs and sliding the slides on the other side of the screen. Hello, Randy.
Doug, you're looking particularly dapper and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and even though you told me you felt better on other days, but
yeah, you might want to clean those glasses and take another look, because I think I'm just ready for a nap. So I am going to try to get through this episode with as little effort as I can, and then I'm just going to lay my head down on the desk and take a nap after it's all over.
Well, that sounds like something I'd be interested in doing. But I thought we would do a couple things today, Doug. One is I'm going to just ask some. I'm a Medicare idiot, and I'm proud of it. I literally, when it came time for me to begin thinking about Medicare, I said, Margaret, I have a job for you.
Yeah, boy, oh boy. But she did an excellent job. She got you the Medicare supplement plan. She avoided Medicare Advantage plan. So I think you're in pretty good hands.
Yep. So I thought we'd take a little bit of time today. I'm just going to start posing questions that occurred to me as I was approaching Medicare, and ultimately passed off to my wife. But she did do a good job, and I'm thankful for it. But I thought we would talk about that a little bit. And then I think the second half, don't you have a few mailbaggers that'll get me out of trouble up in Cave Creek?
I've got some stuff that I could read, correspondence from people who are, have questions and so forth. And that's exactly what your buddies at the CHIP are looking for. Because Absolutely. As I recall, every time you go in there, and if we haven't done any mailbag segments for a while, they have kind of been upset with you.
So yes, I know.
I think we can settle it up for at least this week.
I've been avoiding the CHIP, so I've got to get back in there. Otherwise, I'm just going to lose my place at the bar.
Well, all righty, then. Let's get to the questions that you have, and then we'll do a couple of mailbag items, and that ought to put you in good standing again.
So what I thought I would ask, Doug, is it's going to sound really, really simple, but Medicare Advantage plans advertise, you know, like crazy certain times of the year. And Medicare supplement plans, at least in my way of thinking, don't hit the advertising necessarily as hard as the Advantage plans. Could you just give us a little bit of, I know in the book you talk about this at great length, but just give the listening audience a little bit of clue as to why those are severely different and you need to consider your choices very carefully.
Well, the two types of supplemental plans that protect you when you're enrolled in Medicare are, as Randy said, Advantage plans and supplements, Medicare supplements. Now, I tell people that I think, generally speaking, Medicare supplements are the best plans. And that is because they are designed in such a way that they are actually they're designed for people to buy at the lowest possible cost, and the insurance companies don't spend a lot of time and effort advertising them. They plow any profits they have back into the running of them more efficiently, so that typically the annual increase in premium that somebody, a Medicare supplement owner, might face is as small as they can afford to make it. Now, if the insured person decides to go with a really rich plan, then they're going to see annual increases of 5 to 10% in their premium. But if a person goes with a Medicare Advantage plan, they're not likely to see much increase in premium at all. And that's because Medicare Advantage plans pride themselves on having a lot of fat. Where do they get this fat? The federal government writes every insurance company a check for each enrollee. And so all of a sudden the insurance company is sitting here with this big pile of cash. And what did they do with that pile of cash? The insurance company will provide, they will theoretically pay the medical bills as an insurance company would. But as Randy and I have discussed in the past, they want to share that cost so that people insured by them are not too excited about going to the doctor. So they want to ensure that people will not frivolously use their benefits. In addition to that, they want to attract new people so they can attract more government money. So they talk about all the little freebies that they enclose with the plan. In other words, if you buy a Medicare Advantage plan, theoretically, you can get some dental benefits, maybe skimpy, but it's dental, which Medicare and Medicare supplement plans do not have. You can also get, as Joe Namath says, you can get meals, you can get home health workers. Now, in reality, none of that stuff that Joe talks about is available to anybody but those on Medicaid, those who are basically at the lower end of the income scale. But Joe talks about Medicare Advantage plans like everybody can have all that free stuff. In reality, it's cheaper for the federal government to give an insurance company a pile of money for each insured person than it is for them to insure that person under the Medicare program as it was designed in the 1960s. And I'm wandering all over the place here, but the whole thing is the government designed Medicare to be an insurance company, and they are not good at it. And so every person that has Medicare Part A and Part B costs the government a ton of money. Every person that has a Medicare Advantage plan is provided for because the government just writes a check to the insurance company, and then they don't have to have anything to do with it anymore. And then that insurance company decides where the shortfalls are going to be in their benefit structure, whether the dental is going to be any good or not. And then a couple of years down the road, they may decide, hey, listen, this is too expensive for us. Let's kick the price up. Let's drop some of these bennies. Let's make the people less happy to be with us. And that's when the stampede starts. People that were covered by a particular Advantage plan run off to a different Advantage plan because that's all they know. So I don't know. That was a very long answer to what I thought was a simple question. And it's frankly, it's the difference is the government gives an insurance company a whole pile of money for a Medicare Advantage plan, and the government gives zero money to an insurance company that's selling a Medicare supplement plan.
Now, in terms of the Advantage plans versus the supplements, is it just my perception or is it true that the Advantage plans hit the old television and radio waves harder than supplements?
They're cash rich. They're able to do that because they have a lot of cash. But when you watch Joe Namath and you see his ads all over the place, it's really not the government that is advertising. It's not the insurance company that's advertising. It is a bunch of insurance agents who sell Medicare Advantage plans. The commissions that they earn are so rich for selling Medicare Advantage plans that they can justify hiring Joe Namath to sit there and talk about all the free stuff that they can have. And that is really insurance agents like me advertising their services. So if you were to call up and say, hey, Joe, well, first of all, Joe's not there. It's going to be some doofus that you wind up talking to that doesn't know anything about insurance, but he has a script to follow. And it is not an insurance company. It is not Medicare. It is an insurance agent that you're going to wind up talking to who wants to sell you a product. And the commission rate is so rich for the Medicare Advantage plans that it really justifies the money that they pay Joe, plus, you know, profit over and above that.
I've got related to that, Doug. Could you discuss just a little bit? One thing that's critically important to you and it's critically important to a lot of people in this country is freedom of choice. Talk a little bit about the restrictions that you run into on the supplement plans versus the Medicare Advantage plans or the lack thereof. I think freedom of choice is a great thing.
Well, I agree, and that's why I don't sell Medicare Advantage plans. Medicare Advantage plans are all either HMOs or, in some cases, PPOs. Mostly they're HMOs, and if you want to get medical treatment that's covered by the plan, you've got to go to one of the doctors or one of the hospitals or one of the testing facilities on the list that they give you when you buy their plan. I prefer to sell a product that offers freedom of choice. The Medicare supplement plan allows one to go to any doctor that takes Medicare patients. And that's something like 94% of all the doctors in the country. Now, some of those doctors might have their schedules full. They're not taking new patients right now, or they're not taking new Medicare patients right now. But generally speaking, 94% of the doctors in the country take Medicare patients. And therefore, if you have a Medicare supplement plan, you can go to see for treatment almost any doctor in the United States. And it doesn't have to be in a strict geographical area. You can go to any doctor anywhere in the United States and possessions. If you're covered by a Medicare Advantage plan, you're pretty much stuck in the town or the county or the state where you purchase the plan. So there's much less freedom of choice with a Medicare Advantage plan than there is with a Medicare supplement plan. And that's just one of the things. In the book, Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever, available at Amazon.com, there's a chapter devoted to the 10 ways that Medicare Advantage plans can jeopardize your freedom of choice. So that was a good thing to ask about, Randy, because in the book, there's a whole chapter devoted to listing the ways that Medicare Advantage plans kind of take away your freedom.
And I've got one more question, and then I'm going to turn you loose onto some mailbaggers. But this was a confusing point to me early on until you have edumacated me.
Are you edumacated now?
I am edumacated to some level now. So the thing that I really did learn early on was that when you go buy yourself a G supplement or a high G supplement or a IF supplement or a high F supplement, you're getting the same thing. The only thing you're really looking at when you're shopping is the price. Is that true? That if you get an F from insurance company A or an F from insurance company B, considering that you're in the same state, they're all the same, yeah?
Well, yes, they're all the same benefits. But when you have all of these different Medicare supplement plans, which are maybe the letter F, or maybe the letter G, those have very little risk of somebody reaching into your pocket if you have a large series of medical bills or medical treatments. So if you pay more money for a Medicare supplement plan, you have less risk of sharing some of the cost. However, if you like to save money, then I propose that you take a serious look at the high deductible plans, which you and I call high value plans, because then you get to share some of the risk in return for a much lower monthly cost. For instance, my favorite company in California, 65-year-old person, might get a Medicare supplement that they have the risk of sharing some of the cost with the insurance company for $30 a month, maybe even like $28 a month. That is a really, really attractive monthly premium because you are covered for disasters. You're covered for really, really extensive courses of treatment, but you're going to share some of the cost if it's just routine stuff. You go to a doctor's office, if the doctor costs $100, you're going to share 20% of that. So you'll probably get a bill in the mail for 20 bucks, but you will have saved maybe $100 a month because you took a high deductible plan. So if you compare the high deductible G to the regular G, there's a huge monthly savings. You compare the high deductible F to the regular F, there's a huge monthly savings. If you take on a little bit of the risk, you can have a lot of savings and the whole thing will be a lot cheaper for you. So that's the version there. Go ahead.
The reason I really like the high deductibles, but I do think it's difficult for some people to get their head around it because of the name, first of all. That's yep. The reason Doug calls them high value. High deductible seems a lot more risky than high value. And it sure does. Ultimately, if you get yourself a little piggy bank and you say, okay, I'm going to buy a regular G. And then you take the difference between what you're paying for the regular G versus what you would pay for the high deductible G, take the difference, put it in your piggy bank. And then that's basically your Medicare piggy bank. Chances are, you know, on the long haul, you're going to have money in your piggy bank that never got spent. And ultimately, that's the way I look at it. Is that a good way to look at it?
That's exactly the right way to look at it. And if you wanted to, you could, instead of putting it in your piggy bank or stuffing it in your mattress, you could just take a piece of paper and every month that you're covered by that high deductible plan, write down what you would have spent on the full-blown plan G and subtract the monthly cost of the high deductible or high value plan G. You could have $100, $110, $120 savings every month. And so if you don't have any medical treatment to speak of, then you could have 12 little entries of $110 or $120 at the end of the year. You start all over again, and you might have years and years. I have years and years of that kind of savings. When I first started with Medicare, I had my choice between Plan F and high deductible Plan F, and I said, man, it makes no sense for a healthy guy to take the rich plan and pay tons of money every month. It's good protection, but it's too expensive. So I took the high deductible plan and I've never looked back. My wife the same way. We every month we're saving over $110 that is not going to medical bills. So yeah, you're looking at it the right way.
If you really wanted to make it visible and something you could hold in your hands, you could even go to the point, you know, instead of the piggy bank concept, you know, they have processes in your bank that say, I want you to take out $110 out of my checking account every month and put it in this savings account. Mm-hmm. You can even go to that point, and then at the end of the year, look at your savings account, and that's all the money you would have given away by not having a high deductible plan.
Absolutely. I'm trying to work up a comparison sheet that will show a person that when I show the quote, here's what the plan G that most people are used to would cost, and here's what the high deductible plan G that very few people hear about because agents don't like it. Then I show the difference between the cost. Here's how much risk you're taking on in order to save that amount of money. Now, if you did have a bad year, let's suppose that you had surgery 1 year. Well, you've got all that money in your savings account that's going to but there's a limit. There's a stop loss. There's a very friendly limit to how much the plan will ask you to share. So even if you've been saving $110 every month for a couple of years, you're never gonna spend all that money again. If you have a bad year, you are gonna break even at worst. So that's what I like to do is compare the risk involved.
Well, I hate to tell you the bad news, Doug, but we have burned our time, so we're not gonna be able to get to the mailbag.
That's worse news for you than it is for me when you go to the chip this weekend.
I know. I'm going to have to go up there and maybe not put a mask on for the purposes of COVID, but put a mask on for the purposes of I don't get the crap beat out of me for not having any mailbags.
Well, take some protection with you. Take Margaret. She'll defend you.
Yeah, she will. Yeah, I'd hate to tick her off. So anyway, I really enjoyed this discussion because it's a good refresher for me to go through this again. I, for some reason, my brain just over the course of time leaks insurance information out my left ear.
Well, we should do this more often because I think there are about five different ways to answer many of those questions. And frankly, I'm not sure I always do my best, but I like the fact that you ask the questions because these are important things to think about. You know, what's the difference between a Medicare Advantage and a Medicare supplement plan? So these are serious considerations, and I'm really glad you brought them up.
Well, the other thing, now you correct me if I'm wrong here, but here's another way that I'm thinking about these things. If you look at the value of what an agent stands to make out of a particular plan, the highest book or the highest bag of money coming the agent's way would be out of an Advantage plan. True?
Typically, yes, you're absolutely right. Much less money coming their way from a Medicare supplement plan. And the guy who is making the least amount of money in the whole deal is me. When I sell people a high deductible or high value Medicare supplement, because the premium cost is so small and my commission is figured as a percentage of whatever the client has to pay. So if I sell a product that costs $30 or $40 a month and I'm getting 10% of that, I'm going to starve to death. The one thing that works in my favor is that as the years go by and the rate increases don't happen, because the risk is shared with the insurance company, the person will be happier and happier with their purchase because they'll realize that for years they've been saving every month they've been saving some money. And so I believe that they'll be loyal to me for many, many years to come.
Yes, absolutely. And you've proven that case time and time again. But the thing is, just look at it, folks. However much money goes in the agent's pocket, the bigger the money going into the agent's pocket, the less the value is to you as a client.
Exactly, you know, right.
Little tiniest amount of money going into the agent's pocket is a big value to you. And that's the way the world works.
Yeah.
So anyway, go ahead, Doug.
Well, I was just going to say, you and I have discussed some horror stories and maybe we can revisit some of those again, but not today.
We should actually have one, horror stories of Medicare Advantage. But, you know, ultimately, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. We have thoroughly enjoyed doing this. I thought of this because, as I said, Medicare information leaks out my left ear and I have to refresh it occasionally. And it's not something I'm an expert in like Doug, but he certainly is. He's been in the insurance business, I think, before there was insurance, right?
Certainly before there was a U. Because I'm a lot older than you are.
So anyway, thanks for joining us. You could have been 1,000 different places and you weren't. You were with us and we certainly appreciate that. We're looking forward to seeing you next time on Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma and the CEO of Medicare for the Lazy Man.com.
Bye-bye.